You can meet and hear journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway, LCMS President Matt Harrison, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Cordleone, Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, and Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. We hear these terms, gender-affirming care or gender-affirming treatment. It sounds, well, it sounds compassionate. It sounds good, doesn't it? Until you get into the particulars of what it actually means, especially for minor children, it actually turns out to be barbaric. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the dangers of gender-affirming care, Walt Heyer. Walt identified as a transgender woman for 8 years. He's author of several books, including Trans Life Survivors, and a recent column for The Federalist titled "The Sex Change I Had 40 Years Ago Was a Scam, Not Medicine." Walt, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Ted.
As someone who actually experienced it, what do you make of that euphemism, gender-affirming care?
Well, if they did gender-affirming care, no one would ever go to a gender clinic. We would just affirm them the way they are because they've already had their gender. It was fixed and innate at the time of conception, and it can't be changed after that. So what they're really talking about is trying to feminize a man or masculinize a woman. They're not changing their gender. There's a doctor who did 5,000 of these surgeries testified in California Superior Court that you cannot change anyone's gender. The only thing you can do is neuter them. You can prevent them from being able to foster children and produce sperm. So this is why I call it a scam, the fact that no one in human history has ever actually changed their gender. They've changed their persona. The hormones and surgery will feminize a man and make him look like he changed, but he didn't change. And you can masculinize a woman, but still a woman.
What steps did you yourself take 40 years ago to identify as female?
I went to a gender therapist in San Francisco on Union Street. His name was Dr. Paul Walker. He was actually the original chairperson authoring the standards of care that are still in practice today called WPATH. And he told me that I had gender dysphoria and that for these issues, I told him about what happened early in my life. I had a very difficult childhood and I didn't know what the proper protocols were at that time, but he said, well, what you need is hormones and surgery. So he set it up, and the second time I went to see him so that I could get hormones, and then he wrote me a letter for the surgical procedure. I was on hormones for 2 years and had the surgery in April of 1983, 40 years ago. And so I went through all the surgeries. I had what they call top and bottom and all those different surgeries, and I worked for the federal government at FDIC, and I worked for the Postal Service. I was gainfully employed, and I was very functional. The problem is that they lied to me. They didn't change my gender. So when I realized that, then I detransitioned 33 years ago, and I've been out there trying to help people with my website, sexchangeregret.com, that my wife and I started. I've been married for 25 years to a lovely lady. And what we've been able to do is help thousands of people who end up regretting having done this. And many of them regret it so much they'll detransition if it's possible for them to do that. I'm working with a young man now who 30 years after surgery regretted it, and he's in the process of detransitioning. Most of the people will fall into the regret category somewhere between 5 and 12 years after going through the procedures. We know that they're going to somehow regret it at some point in time. And we also know from accurate studies out of Sweden that you're 19 times more likely to die by suicide if you go through the hormones and surgical procedure and identify and live in the opposite gender. It raises your chances of suicide, not lowers it.
How has the gender industry expanded in the last 40 years?
Well, I think one of the big things was that for a long time it was called gender identity disorder. And so people kind of have a they resist the idea of having a disorder. They don't even like the terminology. So in 2013, they took away the term disorder and called it dysphoria, which actually it was helpful to them in producing more people who would identify as transgender, because dysphoria is really nothing more than euphoria, the opposite side of euphoria. So if you're feeling depressed about who you are, then you go to a gender clinic and say, I have gender dysphoria, and they'll give you hormones and surgery. The proper terminology that most people, probably many of the people in your audience have never heard of, but the truth is that they're suffering from generalized dysphoria. Their issues are not specific to gender, and that's exactly why so many of them that regret it and detransition, because it was something that happened in their childhood. Some adverse childhood experience is called ACEs. That's what happened to me. I had a difficult childhood where I was emotionally and psychologically abused and sexually abused as a child. And that accounts for about 70%, 60 to 70% of the people that I work with were either molested or sexually abused. And what we know from that, the studies show that being sexually abused, molested as a child, actually damages the brain and its ability to reason properly. And so these are important things to understand. People who've been sexually abused, emotionally and psychologically abused, are not candidates for hormones and surgery. And that's why we see the high rates of suicide 19 times higher. And that's why we see so many people regret having done this and detransition. After all, if it was so good to do, I would not have anybody contacting me and regretting having done it.
What are the various procedures of the modern gender industry, and what are their permanent physical and mental effects?
Well, the permanent physical effects, of course, is your body is completely changed. So many of the men that I've worked with, when they have their genital cut off, and they write me and say, I wasn't a homosexual, and I want to have children. And now they're depressed and want to commit suicide because they can't foster children. And the same thing is true for women. If these hormone blockers and hormones damage them to the point to where they cannot bear children. So there's the secondary effect of these individuals going through these hormones and these procedures. They'll never be able to produce sperm or birth their baby, which is devastating to them that they didn't think about that when they were 12, 13, 14, or 15 years old. They were just buying into the ideology. Then they deeply regret it, and this is another reason why some of them consider doing suicide.
You say that all of this, in the case of minors, is child abuse. Why?
Well, when a child does not need to undergo hormones or surgery, we're abusing these children. Number one, no one's gender has ever changed in the history of mankind. So we're lying to them. That in itself is psychological and emotional abuse. To tell a child they can change their gender when they can't do it. It's never happened. And so that's the number one lie. The second thing that happens is we're devaluing them as a man or a woman by telling them they can become someone else. And then when we introduce hormones to them, whether it be blockers or just hormones themselves or surgery, then what we are is dehumanizing them. So you start by devaluing them and telling them they can change. Then we dehumanize them by giving them hormones and engaging in surgery, whether cutting off a girl's breast is very dehumanizing. And then the last chapter of this insanity is that we destroy their lives because we permanently alter their bodies that can't be redeemed or restored surgically.
Walt Heyer is our guest. We're talking about the dangers of gender-affirming care. He identified as a transgender woman for 8 years, and he's author of several books, including Trans Life Survivors, and a recent column for The Federalist titled The Sex Change I Had 40 Years Ago Was a Scam, Not Medicine. We'll talk with him a little bit more about these destructive procedures next. La, 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 la.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, is looking for an English teacher with a master's degree for the 2023-24 school year. Edwardsville is 30 minutes from downtown St. Louis. The position would involve teaching upper-level, dual-credit English classes. For more information, send an email to Principal Jay Krause, J-A-Y-K-R-A-U-S-E, at melhs.org, jkrause@melhs.org.
Terry Mattingly is the eternal boomer. In other words, he, due to the circumstances of his birth, is lame.
Here's some feedback from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Terry can be counted on to deliver his boring, blasé take in his irritatingly pseudo-profound fashion. Anyway, lame. May God have mercy on Terry and Issues Etc. You're all a bunch of lame boomers.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're discussing the dangers of gender-affirming care with Walt Heyer, author of several books, including Trans Life Survivors. So you had mentioned this a little bit before, Walt, but we're told that regret is rare after these destructive procedures. Tell us about your experience.
Yeah. After 8 years, and I started studying psychology at UC Santa Cruz and started reading some of the stories and some of the things that people who had identified as transgender and what their stories were. And I began to learn more about mine when I did that. And the first one that I looked at was a case where a young boy's mother had passed away. He was very close to his mother. And he began to identify, not long after that, as a female. And going through some of the procedures, and someone who was a psychologist came up and started asking him about some of the things that he was feeling. And they studied this, I think it was at Cornell University, and found out that he was suffering from what they at the time had called separation anxiety. I'm not sure that's what they still call it today, because this study was many, many years ago. But what they said was that he took on his mother's identity as a female in an effort to keep his mother alive, and so that he would feel like she was still there. He was just assuming his mother within himself to keep her alive, which, if you look at that and examine it and think about it, it's a psychological distress that he was suffering from depression about his mother being gone, and he wanted her to be alive, and this was his way of processing that. And so what I realized in working with others and myself, and I was emotionally and psychologically abused, and I was depressed, and I realized that it was the issues in my childhood is the term for this adverse childhood experience is called ACEs. And what the children who go through these things, if we can recognize that a child has been abused, maybe passed around in foster care, suffering from some kind of abuse, whether it be psychological, physical, or emotional, then what we really need to put them in front of is a trauma therapist to deal with their adverse childhood experience. This has been studied by Kaiser Permanente. This is not something that Walt Heyer invented. This has been around for a long time. They're called ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experience. Anybody listening can look it up. And there's a scale to test a young person on. And there's a scale from 1 to 10, and you test them and see what their stress level is on trauma. The proper therapy for these issues is sometimes rapid eye movement therapy, talk therapy. There's a lot of therapies that you can engage in that don't require hormones and surgery, and the people will desist from this. I've worked with a young man just recently who, after going through trauma therapy, after struggling for many years, he desisted right away and realized that it was this traumatic events that he suffered during his life that lasted for a while. But the therapy, it works. And we don't need to engage. That's why it's so destructive to give stuff to young people or old people, for that matter, that they don't need. We just need to give them proper, effective psychotherapy and understand what has caused them to not like who they are, deal with it, and help them.
Why are other countries ending so-called gender-affirming treatment?
Because it's harming children. You know, we've got several countries now, Finland, UK, Netherlands, Sweden. These are countries who were left-leaning, who are the leaders in this at one time, now have gathered enough information and said, we're doing too much harm, and they have gone to what they call watchful waiting and psychotherapy. They refuse to engage in giving young children these hormones and engage in this because they see the long-term effects causing too much harm.
So in light of that, Walt, why does the U.S. continue to allow and even promote these destructive treatments?
I think it's more of a political question. The answer is based on, right now, the president of the United States, he came out and spoke that he wants kids, if they're 8 years old, to be able to have access to transitioning. So he hasn't read the studies that come out of the countries who stopped. He hasn't read the research about the harm. This is why we have this administration who's appointed somebody to HHS to spearhead lowering the age group and increasing the number of children who have access to these surgeries, because it's being led by somebody who's a biological man who dresses as a woman, and that's his stuff. But he's pushing this onto other people, and it's causing way too much harm, and the government should not be engaged in this practice of harming children. It's horrible.
Do you foresee, with people experience the regret and then detransitioning, that this becomes, well, I mean, just in a cynical way of looking at it, a fertile legal field for prospective lawyers saying, have you been harmed by gender transition? Do you believe that you are the subject of medical malpractice?
Yeah, there's a lot of medical malpractice cases right now. Harmony Dillon is one of them, has two young girls, Chloe Cole, I forget who the other one is. I've got a client of mine who's 27 years old, who's got a case against a California firm, and it's being handled by a lawyer in San Diego. Yeah, this is the one that's going to take it down. This is going to crash. It's not going to continue, and it's probably going to fall under the weight of all the legal stuff. Now, there are many states who are taking action and blocking these things, just like the countries. Sadly, we have to do this on a state-by-state basis, but now there's many states who are blocking children from having access to hormones and surgery. But we need the whole nation to follow suit. The UK, their largest gender clinic, is closing. After many, many years, they realize that they're just causing too much harm. And it's become a political tool here. It's not medical at all. There's a lot of money in it. I've been told that if you can get a kid hooked on the hormones and get him in this process, the pharmaceutical companies and the surgeons are going to collectively make somewhere north of $200,000 per person. So the more that they, quote, do this procedure to, the more money they're going to make. So it's probably a political and financial incentive to keep it going.
Walt Heyer, identified as a transgender woman for 8 years. He's author of several books, including Trans Life Survivors, and a recent column for The Federalist titled The Sex Change I Had 40 Years Ago Was a Scam, Not Medicine. Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Walt, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
When we toy with human lives by rejecting God's created order of male and female, it will inevitably harm those with whom we toy and harm our society. We embrace God's order. It may not always be easy, but it is always right. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further into St. Luke's Gospel with Of Camels and Needles' Eyes, Third Prophecy of the Passion, The Blind Beggar, Zacchaeus, and Parable of the Minas, Part 1. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.